Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Mick McCarthy.
What?
Here we go. I'm typing on my Google Doc saying Morata is right. I didn't think he played in the Prem. Yes.
The point's been declared.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
OTB GAA, the football pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James Donoghue. Paddy, you're fresh looking. You're rested looking. You look like you've just, after staying in a gifted five-star resort.
It wasn't gifted, no, unfortunately. I'm broke for the rest of the month. No, I was away with a beautiful Tipperary. I've never played them much. Not much golf down there or anything, no. So, I was away with the rain, yeah, last night.
Where'd you stay?
Cash Palace. Nice then. Yeah, not a bad spin. Motorway the whole way for us. Beautiful. So, I'm a lot fresher than our co-star here this evening.
That's what I was getting to. James O'Donoghue, if Paddy has been luxuriating this weekend, you've been in the pits. Where have you been?
The pits? No, we stayed in luxury hostel accommodation in Liverpool.
Yeah. Nice. What brought you over there?
One of the boys, Stags. David Sullivan plays for Legion, actually. So he had a stag in Liverpool. Home yesterday. Everyone made it home, which was...
That's success.
It was a complete success. Perfect couple of days. Liverpool, I'll tell you what, is a great spot. It's nice and tidy. Do you know what I mean? You're not travelling to get everywhere. Everywhere is close. Great spot in the accommodation. Nice and handy as well, so...
Brilliant.
Oh, great weekend. Exactly. Well, I thought I'd look worse.
You look great.
You're doing pretty good.
You go all weekend watching all the games.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, in fairness, the games are on in all the pubs and everything. One TV,
who was broadcasting it?
They'd have it thrown in the corner somewhere.
Yeah, like, Plus, as we're now.
There'd be a few Irish. Some amount of Irish over in Liverpool.
Oh, there is.
Oh, my God. In fairness... Not great crack. But I watched the Kerry Tyrone game back again today.
Okay.
Because I did watch that, but I wasn't tactically analysing enough of it.
He had this torture.
Cliffy played and Kerry won. That's the last of the short of that match.
Yeah, we backed Cliffy, man, the match. So that was nice.
I paid for the stag, so.
You were in bother with the black card then. Were you? Were you worrying about that?
I didn't actually know he got a black card until after the game.
2 seconds ago.
on the first viewing of the game, I didn't actually catch that bit. You know what? Very harsh black card, though, I thought. If it's actually a black card because it was a foot trip. But, like, they were both going for the ball. McAlone got done with a harsh black card as well, I thought, in the first half?
McAlone kind of had the paw on the ankle, though. Do you know? Yeah. It was kind of a silly one.
It was probably a silly one more than anything, yeah.
On the black cards, you might not. You were in Salt Hill yesterday.
Yeah.
The way TG Carr recorded this, I could be wrong, but
the camera.
Finian O'Leary got a black card. Did you see this?
Yeah. Stonewall.
When the camera cut to Joyce.
The death stare.
Was Joyce reacting to the black card?
Well, that's how the Sunday game portrayed it last night when they.
Or the Sunday game did it as well.
Yeah.
Because it was like, he came on, black card.
Oh, he gave him the filthies. He did.
Did he? Okay, because it looked like that. And I didn't know. You were in the stats. You could have said, was he annoyed at something else? But I had a feeling it was over, that black card. Like, Finian, you got to get the head down and training this week, I feel. You got to put your shoulder to the wheel.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. Ooh, not good.
Yeah, and Finian O'Leary has had a decent league campaign, so I'm sure he'll get another run out across the next few weeks. If he doesn't, we'll be going back to that moment. No, I'd always forgive a fella for an unfortunate black card. It can happen to the best of us. we might come back to black cards later.
Hold on a sec. I don't think it was ever black carded. Ever.
You retired by the time the fucking black card came in.
Nah, I was having it around the edges by that stage. Before you go off this, you were on the WhatsApp there yesterday. What does it take to call off a match at Salt Hill? Seriously.
Unbelievable stuff. I couldn't believe it. I was sure
it was
I was watching the game.
It was like, this is nonsense. Like,
yeah.
It was just, and I wouldn't mind. The pitch wasn't too hot either. Like, it's not like the surface was great. Like,
well, the word.
Sorry to just,
The word and salt hill.
This game is going to be like a hurricane playing in that match.
Yeah, and I like the Monaghan Cork game was switched. I think Cork kind of jumped at the opportunity to switch the Monaghan game. I think they're planning another midweek sojourn in their off week or a mid-league kind of training camp. So Cork needed kind of a bit of a bump. So they couldn't afford to have a game postponed. Galway Donegal, the word was that morning. I was meeting a couple of buddies that morning or meeting a friend for coffee, and the word was that the game could be pushed to Toom even that morning. But obviously, there was nothing in that. But that was the kind of vibe that it was. That was the expectation because the gale, the winds were that bad. Like, it was absolutely reckless. Like, that, there was that kick pass in the first half where Conor Flaherty, the goalkeeper, gets overturned. And the ball ends up 30 yards behind the Donegal player when he kicks it. It was just reckless. Patton has another kick out that ends up back in his own 21. Yeah. So it was like madness.
Which Walsh's makes
point. Walsh had a shot from his own 45 and he scored a 2-pointer.
No, Walsh's point off the left for a 1-pointer on second half was beautiful. Sensational.
Like, oh, to get the power, kicking against the wind. Incredible.
Kicking against the wind was, it was just an outrageous point.
Yeah.
And it was like a settler because, you know, at the start of the second half, you weren't sure if Donegal were going to launch a comeback straight away.
No.
Galway were good lads.
Yeah. Very good, Patrick.
I think we're sleeping on Galway a bit.
I think who was sleeping on Galway?
Everyone, you haven't done about 8 in the rankings.
I do not. They're in the top fucking 2.
They played straight at Tommy's rankings.
No.
They were good yesterday.
See, Galway let me down badly. Was it, was it last year or the year before? I tipped them heavily and then they just kind of fell away. But like, they're back there. They seem really good. They seem really physical and athletic, and they seem, the new rules suit all their players physically.
What a game, Jimmy. They looked like, I don't know, T, like, say you were there. I'm going to go. They're playing Dublin in Croke Park in 15th of March, I think it's on. I'm looking forward to going into that. But the running power, they look like they are motoring. Like, and like, this was against Donegal. Now, no conditions. Everything would have pinched salt at that game yesterday. It wasn't Donegal's first team either, but we know Donegal have a lot of work done. But Galway just looks so powerful, strong. Walsh is in form. When that guy's in form, this is like, what a different team. He elevates that team completely. And this is all without Conroy, Comer, McDade. We've seen the two lads sitting on the bench yesterday.
Tierney for half the game.
Galway were very good. And there was that fear with these big leads. We've seen it. Jesus, did we all tip Westmead last week, lads?
I warned you. You should have let me be the only one to tip Westmead.
Like,
I told you.
Points up against Cavan. I was like, lovely. 100% record. Fucking Cavan go back and beat them. Like, Jesus. The wind and the 2-pointers is causing havoc with the scoring systems, lads.
But you know what, lads? Good news. The next time we watch a game of football, it'll be March. Surely that spells the end of the brutal weather as we wait for May to come around. I know. Yeah, there could be another head. But like you mentioned Galway-Dublin there, Paddy. You might be better off waiting until the end of March and catching that league final. Galway and Dublin, I think, are both going to end up in there the way things are looking. Might be a bit early to call, is it? Is it too early to call?
I think so.
I was talking to
this weekend. Tough game.
Yeah, tough game. I was talking to Paul Shocknessy this morning, who runs the Maroon and White football podcast in Galway. I was trying to actually get it out of Paul. Like, what is Galway's strongest starting 15? Because the depth that they have is really, really impressive. You know, obviously we saw Conor Flaherty get the run the last day, but Conor Gleeson is clearly Joyce's number one. You've got Johnny McGrath, Sean Kelly, Jack Glynn, Dylan McHugh, John Daly, Liam Silk in the defence. Daniel O'Flaherty's been starting every game, been very impressive so far. Midfield, there's no one displacing Conroy and Maher. And then that half forward line, McDade, Tierney, Cian Darcy's going to be so important with the kickouts. And then Finnerty, Comer, Walsh. Like, there's loads of lads there that are breaking in or put the hands up. And, you know, Sean McKerns, Keane Hernan, Sam O'Neill has started a lot of games this year. There's good depth there in Galway. And
have we any word on Comer and when's he back?
Joyce was asked that a few times and he kind of dismissed it once or twice. And then he said, look, he won't be back next week. They're playing Tyrone, but we're hoping to have him back for the last two league games. So Galway's schedule, they're obviously playing in New York the week after a league final if they make it there. And then they've got the winners of that have the Rossies 2 weeks after that in a Connacht semi-final in the middle of April. So
do you reckon he'll take the foot off the gas in the league?
I think every team, in a sense, like we saw it with Donegal at the weekend, McHugh rested, McBurty rested, Murphy.
Had inside information on that, because when we were doing our predictions and you were like, no, Donegal will be happy what they have now, they'll start resting a few fellas.
I said that. He was just copying me.
I know. I know.
But it's early. It's early in the league to be doing that. Like three games in, they did that.
No, no, no. Want to win the league, Jimmy? Oh, 6 points. Get the six and chill.
But I suppose with Galway,
Netflix and chill after 6 points.
No disrespect to New York, but like, I think Galway would be fine playing a National League final and going and still winning that game. Right?
I love when you start a phrase. No disrespect.
We do, oh, hold on a second.
What is it's the a lot different.
Things
it's a lot different to playing an Ulster Championship match. I think.
Wait a second. Wait a second.
Oh, disrespect.
You should have handed it over to Paddy there.
There's no bad ideas, and then someone has got to come up with the worst fucking idea ever displayed.
Paddy, what was the phrase you used in Dublin as you were going out to do another scutcheon in the Leinster Championship?
Stick to the process. We'll be warm with a few.
There was another one. I can picture a Johnny Cooper interview before a Carlo game.
Yeah.
Where he I can't remember how he didn't write them off, but he didn't write them off. He gave them a fair chance. I said the bookies odds shorten on Carlo after that interview.
See, this is the thing with Galway. You've just outlined why Galway's depth. That was the key. We always said that the key thing why we performed in these games. Yes, like deep down, we knew we were going to win the fucking things, but you had to perform because you're playing for your place. Yes. And that's the thing with Galway. Yes. You've just outlined 20-plus players. So even though they are going to knock the shite out of New York, whoever plays in that game and gets the opportunity, they're playing to play against Roscommon a couple of weeks later. So they have to perform. There's no, we're going over to New York on a jolly. And it's a brilliant position for Joyce and that management team to be in. That's the beauty of depth. Not just, okay, if someone gets injured, we can replace them. But the subs actually drive the first 15 on to ensure performance. So there's no complacency, anything like that as well. So it's a brilliant position to be in. That's the real plus of having 25-plus players who all feel they can start and that quality, is that that sort of complacency. The more so many messages from the manager.
Mm. Definitely. And I think you're talking about depth. On the flip side, I'd put that question to you, Paddy. Like, were you disappointed in Donegal? Would you be worried after that at the weekend?
Nah, worried. What? They've won the first three games. Like, they were flying. I'm not. Like, the National League is like, we've been guilty every single season, lads, on this show of bigging up this league too much. You know what? If you're in the coach's position, we said it from the first episode of this season. The coaches have openly said it themselves. Get the 6 points. We don't want to be relegated. That's why Armagh, I'm sensing a big performance from Armagh on Saturday night. Get the 6 points. We want to get players. We need to find new players. And we also want to get everyone on our squad exposed to the new rules. So whatever experimentation happened in the National League, rounds 3, 4, and 5, add in that the fucking game has changed completely. That's where teams' heads are at. So Donegal, I would not say Jim McGuinness in the slightest is concerned with what happened yesterday. Mm. They have started the league really strong. If they're in a league final or not, they're not getting relegated. That's the plus thing. And they're building up momentum. He changed the players around yesterday. Had a feeling he'd do that. And honestly, like it was a bit of a shame because, like we called it last week, you knew that game in Salt Hill was going to be farcical. And that's the way it turned out. Like, so you can't. Like, do you know what it was even more, stood out even more? Skills on both sides for both players were so much fumbling, ball just bouncing around the place. The conditions around the game completely just made that null and void. I'd say McGuinness is never going to talk about that match again for the rest of the season. Focus on next week. I would not be in the slightest bit worried about Donegal after seeing that yesterday.
I sensed a touch of disappointment after the game, but by no means devastation. Right?
They were a little bit disappointed.
Like, yeah, it wasn't enough of a fight. I'd say they expected to make a bit more of a game of it in the first and the second half. Like you say, the skills and how difficult the game was. Like Galway's ability against the wind and with the wind, what they did was actually really, really impressive. Like I'll put it to you this way, James. Galway took 13 shots for two pointers in the first half with a gale behind them. So it wasn't just that they weren't afraid of shooting. They were actually forcing Patton to kick the ball out, which they kept the ball down that end of the field. It was quite a smart template, especially within these new rules, to play that way. They converted 7 of the 13. So their first 6 scores were two-pointers. Their first 5 scores were two-pointers. Then Daniel Flaherty and Rob Finnerty kicked a point apiece. Then Shane Walsh kicked another two-point free. Shane Walsh kicked another two-pointer. I think it was that one on his right, Paddy. On the 45.
Great scoring.
That was a doozy. And then they tagged on a late score as well, Trillium Silk. They missed a goal chance too. But even at 17 points to 1 at half time, it kind of felt like it wasn't enough, like, you know, especially with the Tierney red card.
But I think that the whole kick-out thing, the opposition kick-out is now a major attacking situation for the team who's getting the ball kicked to them. Because they have, like, your goalie is also pushed up. You have a plus one. It's like a game of backs and forwards when there's a strong wind. The ball just being kicked in and you can attack again. Like, the more momentum you have nearly with these new rules with the wind, like, it's very hard to stop that kind of wave of scores and pressure against you. And as well, do you know, with the old rules, you could maybe foul someone, get in the way, you know, maybe a bit of an error. No, you foul someone. It's actually speeding up the game because they have to leave you alone for a couple of steps. So, and as well, do you know the way there's been loads of games with a huge swings in terms of the turnarounds late in games? I think it's because once you get momentum and you attack with that, like they were saying on the Sunday game last night, with the chaos and the kind of aggression, it's very hard to stop that momentum when there's overloads and extra bodies.
Well, Mead, getting to them 15 minutes into the pod, Mead were 4 points down against Roscommon in the first half and Navan. They had the wind with them in the second half. Roscommon started that second half quite well. Mead get a goal, and under the old rules, James, if you conceded a goal, keeper might lie down in the square, check for his contact lenses. You might slow it down a little bit.
Head collision. All that good stuff.
And Davy Burke was talking afterwards. He was like, I know we have to take one in the 20 seconds, but there needs to be a way to calm us down a bit, because they concede a second goal 20 seconds later. And suddenly that game was flipped in his head. Mead added 3 two-pointers in the next 5 minutes. That game was a done deal with 10 minutes to go in that. So I don't know if you can see this, right? But the Games Intelligence Unit, and we're going to be getting a bit of this data over the next couple of weeks, they shared some statistics from the first 3 rounds of the league. So it's 47 out of 48 games. Can you see that there? The percentage of long kickouts in a game that have gone long versus short. It's obvious. We can see it with our eyes. But up to 80% of kickouts right now are going long. And then secondly, I'm not sure if you can see this, the contested kickouts, you mightn't be able to see that one yet, but I'll share that with you as well while we're chatting. But the amount of contested kickouts have gone through the roof as well. So the kind of physicality that's needed to compete is huge as well there. But Paddy, surely, like, you played with a goalkeeper there that mastered the art of running routes, at picking out players, at figuring out bits and pieces around kickouts. Surely there are going to be ways to figure out different styles of kickouts other than just lumping it out that we've seen in the first 4 rounds of the league.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's where I'd be reluctant to start going changing rules already at this point, because the sample size is so small. The games are coming ticking fast as well. Teams don't really have a lot of time to train. And like, it took us years to develop a kickout strategy, weeks and weeks and weeks on end, working on all this type of thing. Teams are not going to be able to do that and figure out the solution to that in 4 weeks on the basis of 3 or 4 games, when they've another game next week and injuries, and we're trying to get lads back and we're trying to do with all the other rules as opposed to just kickouts. But I think the best teams will figure out ways of not just launching the thing 70 yards out the middle. At times they will go with that. We would have run ourselves. There's opportunities going long, but just because you can't chip a 10 yards to your cornerback and get it back anymore doesn't mean there's not mid-range kicks, all that type of thing. But it's going to be very difficult to do that to you, because the big thing, there's so many bodies are in that space now. So where you try and find pockets, you have got to be, under these rules, with the amount of bodies that are going to be in the middle third, like, unbelievably accurate. Like, that's 12 players working together, like nearly something akin to you see in rugby, like set plays to try and get possession. I don't think teams are going to get to that level in the next couple of weeks. You know, it's just no time to do that.
So is this why we haven't seen Stephen Cluckson, is he hiding away in the background practicing all these moves?
I wouldn't have thought so. Okay. You can have all the fucking tactics you want. If there's a 70 mile an hour wind blowing at you,
yes,
you have no chance.
That's what I was going to say. We haven't actually mentioned the fact that whatever you want to do at the moment, you can't. Because you're kicking the ball out, it's coming back over your head nearly. So it's
Patton nearly scored own points yesterday. He's kicking the ball out, it's back over the bar.
So we can't actually analyse strategy or keeper's ability at the moment. Yeah. Or even, like a lot of things, there's teams that are saving stuff for championship as well. There's no point in bringing stuff in now. First of all, when the weather's so bad, but also
100%.
They don't want to give it away. No. No, they'll work on something on the QT and bring it to the summer.
There was a key point just on the rules from the weekend, Paddy Talley. Derry didn't perform on Saturday night, but he made a point after. He's like, wait till teams get to Croke Park. Croke Park, with these rules, is just completely different. And that's in February. And you could see it. It's the biggest pitch. It plays the fastest. There's absolutely no hiding space. And whatever it was difficult to play that kind of containment game plan in Croke Park previously, teams, when they start getting exposed to that, and again, you get into May, June, July, All-Ireland finals, quarterfinals, semi-finals time, it's like another level up again. And I thought that was very interesting from Paddy Talley. It was a bad performance by Derry. They were well beaten by Dublin, but it struck him even. He goes, whatever the rules we're all playing, when teams get to Croke Park, it's another level completely then.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a given. And it was interesting. He spoke about his keeper as well after the game. Paddy Talley is obviously somebody who came out the first night and spoke about the 12v11 is going to kill the game. He then went for Neil McNichol over Oran Lynch for the Kerry game. Conceded 5 goals. You could say that none of them were really McNichol's fault. A midfielder playing in goals. At the weekend, though, Niall Scully, whether he was going for a point or he was trying to lob him, probably I think he was probably going for a point. But the Conor Tyrrell one, though.
Scale, Jimmy.
The Conor Tyrrell one probably was McNichol's issue there. So probably misread it a little bit and it dropped in over his head. So I don't know whether Talley's...
He's not a goalkeeper. That's the risk for Orchard Kenton. Jimmy, you said it last week. It's like goalkeepers, they're walking, they can run up the pitch, but if someone gets a shot on them, they're fucked. they're not goalkeepers. So that's risk you're running.
I'm increasingly convinced that... So the FRC have their review this week and mid-league review, and we might get tweaks or changes. You'd be anticipating a couple of them. The 12v11 is going to be a big debate, you'd imagine. They're meeting in Mullingar on Friday night, and I think we'll get information over the weekend what rules are going to be changed. So McGuinness brought up the farce of a team getting a black card or a red card and they don't have to keep as many players up and back. I'd imagine that's going to be looked at.
What would you do there that you still have to keep the three guys up?
I don't know what the answer is, but it's either that or there's a punishment.
Is there really a punishment there if you can just bring all the bodies back? But what if it's one of the back six that gets a black card?
You're going to have to keep three back. You're going to have to send someone back, yeah. Well, so look, that's one that's worth keeping an eye on. But the 12-11,
is there any wind on... Say the FRC do make changes over the course of the weekend. Do they come into effect for the next round of National League games? Is it that quick?
Yeah, that's it. And look...
Really? Okay.
But these would be minor altercations. They'd be minor alterations at this stage, surely. They're not going to come in with anything new. They're just going to say yes or no to something.
The 12 and 11 could be scrapped, is it?
The thing is,
I think that should go. But do you know what I'm looking forward to is when we're not talking about the rules anymore as well.
I agree.
That we've just accepted them, right? We can move on and enjoy the football a bit more. Because at the moment, I'm doing it myself, I'm questioning everything. I'm like, no, we should change that. Do you know, you're not getting the enjoyment out of them just yet. We need to settle on them.
Yeah. I still think
we're seeing brilliant games.
But we are.
Yeah, we are. So
in brutal weather. I thought it was a positive thing that this was baked in, this review. Because if there was a massive issue, a glaringly obvious problem, it can be changed. And I hope that's the only thing that's tweaked this week. I'd love to see the 12v11 stay for the entire season. And then at the end of the year, we can make an informed decision. Because my suspicion is that a team that tries to force the 12v11, it's more likely to cost you in All-Ireland than win you in All-Ireland. That's my opinion on it. Evan Comfort sauntered up the field the last day, Paddy, kicked a lovely point against Derry. No pressure on him. I think if that happens in an All-Ireland semi-final, he's getting milled. He's getting targeted by four or five defenders.
I think Derry were happy to let him shoot.
They probably were.
And so, like, he was taking his time. I don't think Ev fancied himself either, but it was a great score.
Yeah.
He had a couple of super opportunities, but...
Super score. Finally, on keepers and kickouts, just three kickouts worth noting, right? Patton had a kickout in the first half that was absolutely brilliant. He angled it really low. He somehow bet the Gael and set Donegal away. But Galway, as they did throughout that first half, turned over the Donegal attack. Brilliant one. Billy Hogan from Meath, he had the wind at his back, but he left one of his kickouts in the 40-metre arc on the other side of the field. So I thought that was worth noting. Kick 245 is against the wind as well. And the final one was Niall Morgan setting Darragh Canavan away for that penalty. Thought that was a pretty noteworthy move. Right over the top of the Kerry press, Canavan flying through. We haven't even got to the return of David Clifford this weekend. I'm going to take a quick break here in the Football Pod. We'll be back right after this. The Pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out #toughest for more. We have a Members Pod coming this week with our second interview on the Football Pod 15, so I hope you'll check that out as well. And Paddy and James, we'll be back right after this. All right, you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. James, we got a glimpse of an angry David Clifford, or would you say a happy David Clifford with his hat-trick at the weekend? I love the celebrations, but 3-3 on his return. Darragh Canavan also making his mark. The Errol Kieran boys coming back for Tyrone. He scored 1-4 off the bench as well.
I must say, I love the celebrations by Clifford, because when he does something, the crowd react more, his teammates react more, and when he's really in the zone like that, I think fellas can feed off it. So I was delighted to see him doing such kind of out there celebrations. But like, how can you be out for that long, not play, and just waltz back in and score a hat trick? Do you know? Like, in fairness, as well.
That's unbelievable.
The rules would suit him and everything. But like, even just, he wasn't questioning his body. He wasn't questioning his skills. He just went out, didn't get into his own head, just delivered. Do you know, I think that says a lot about a fella's mindset as well.
Would you say, is it a bit maybe, Jimmy, you know, more like, was it frustration? It was like he just couldn't wait.
I reckon he was getting a hard time. That had to be like, someone was...
Oh, from like Tyrone defenders?
Yeah, but someone was after riling him, surely. Do you know, because even for the first goal, he was absolutely buzzing after it, which is brilliant, like, but maybe he was getting a few jeers in the crowd and stuff, and...
You don't think it's just a layoff? Like, like I say, the first game of the year, there's so much has been going on, loads of talk, and he's like, when I get back out there, I'm going to show people what's
going on. Maybe. Could have been a bit like that as well. But I just think that a couple of fellas left a bit on him at a couple of different stages. Over by the side, and he got a little dunt under the ribs. Maybe a winding, and he was, at that stage, I think maybe even more so, he was like, you know what, maybe it's time.
But, you know what, lads? It's like... You're watching it like it's so hard to do what he's doing there. Like we played in league game, playing Tyrone, that level, and it is honestly like he could have scored 5 goals. Like 5 goals. It's like fucking in a failure match or something. Like, this is senior intercounty, like, against the Division 1 team. And he's like, it honestly is like he's playing under 14s and he's 2 or 3 years ahead. Like, it was just like, the last goal is just like, bodies strewn everywhere. He's just throwing lads off and just smashes it in. It's
that was
like,
just after a black card when he came back as well. There was a bit of anger in that one.
Yeah, but just to be able to do that, like, that's not normal. Like, you do not see players do that at this level. Like, and it honestly, you see it, performances like that, it's like, this is a senior player playing, you know, a junior match. You know, he's been called in to do this as a favour or something. It's like, his level when he's at it, always say this, and that is the difference for Kerry. Like outside of it, we've said this so many times, and Jimmy, you can defend it or not as much as you want. If he goes off on one, Kerry will win the All-Ireland. Like, there's nobody like, you know, and I love Conn. Conn's amazing, incredible, but you see things that Clifford can do like that, just turn it on. If he can do that consistently, and this season, 2025, he gets back to his best, that player of the year season, and, you know, because through injuries or just so many games he's been playing or whatever it might be, just probably wasn't at his peak, and that impacted Kerry so much. But if he comes out and performs like that, like, under these rules, back to the rules again, but, like, my God, like, it's open season for Kerry. There's nobody else can do what he can.
Yeah, we definitely have to keep him fit. and keep him playing well, mind him. But like, we're reliant on Paddy as well. Paddy Clifford, like, his running games. Now he's actually making a few mistakes as well, but he's just not up to his top level yet. But like, the fitness he's showing and the leadership he's showing, I think when he gets up to full sharpness, like the two boys with only 12 defenders, if they start their relationship strong again, you know, like, there was teams putting everyone back, and Paddy likes not outside of the boot, faded into Clifford. You know, we haven't seen that in a long time because teams have just gone so cautious against him. So when that can't happen, I think it'll suit the boys.
When he hit the underside of the bar before the black card and before the hat trick, it was a turnover in defence. Darragh Lyne kicks the ball 40 yards to Paddy Clifford, who turns and kicks the ball outside of the right to David Clifford. Morgan tries to beat him to it. He doesn't. Gets back to his line, and Clifford rattles the underside of the crossbar. Like that, I think that kick pass, shot on goal is something we may see later on this season.
But isn't that surprising, lads, that we haven't seen that? Again, maybe it's conditions again.
I think it's conditions.
We spoke, was it last week's show or the week before, that with the rules coming in, I expected every team to be like two or three of them a game. Just don't even look, just launch it. And we haven't really seen that at all. Teams have still been running the ball.
Isn't it the same as the kickouts? Like, it's going to take teams time to reprogram themselves and maybe think about it. I don't know.
It's. I think when the ball is moved fast, there's no stopping it. But I think Paddy says once you hit Crow Park and once the weather calms down a bit, we'll see a lot more of that. At the moment, I think that you're still cautious because the last thing you want to do is be chasing the ball around and be caught. You know,
you're giving
it away, and next thing you're chasing the ball for ages. And so I think there's going to be a lot of dust to settle first.
A fellow who didn't get the biggest break in the world but got a couple of weeks off also emerged on the field in Pomeroy at the weekend. Darragh Canavan, who lit up our Januaries, and he very nearly lit up that game for Tyrone people as well. 1-4, wins a penalty. He looked lively too, James.
He did. Was that the penalty looked outside the box, is it? To me, anyway, first viewing.
But you might have been upside down when you were watching that game, were you?
No, I literally watched it back an hour ago. But no, he looked sharp as well. But even the confidence that he must have taken from the club scene, you know, he probably still feels like he's at his sharpest and at his fittest, even though he's been off for the last couple of weeks. But like, he'll carry that confidence and carry that body that he had into the season.
You remember how that final finish from as well, like, that's so unfortunate. The first half hour of the career was a disaster, but he's concussed. Yeah. Like, all the hope was on him for that final. So there's maybe a bit of that as well. It's like, he's probably knocking on Malik O'Rourke's door going, I'm mad to come back. You know, it'll take me a couple of weeks, but I am mad for Rod. Like, I think, again, talk about a player who could benefit from the extra little bit of space. I think he's going to have a sensational summer. I'm looking forward to see. Isn't that the good thing, though? Isn't that what the rules brought out? You want to see, Shane Walsh spoke about it yesterday. You were chatting to him after. Yeah. Like, the game, the rules are rewarding the best skills of the game. And it will be no coincidence to see Shane Walsh, Darragh Canavan, Clifford, Khan, these guys having the summer of their lives. And for me, I would rather see that over anything else, tweaks and all things like that. The rules are to promote the best skills. And I think we could see some incredible stuff from the best players.
But Tommy, you questioned it last week. You were like, the goals are down. The goals are down. What's going on? And next thing, you just get two of the boys back on the pitch, Clifford and Canavan, and four over the two of them straight away. Five, actually, because Canavan wins the penalty as well. So like, it actually contributed to five goals.
You read my mind, because it was the most goals scored in a Division 1 round so far, 12 at the weekend. So brought the average up. There's more goals scored in Division 1 this weekend than any other division. So maybe that was a coincidence or not. I did have a question, though, when I was watching Shane Walsh. And I know the wind was a factor, but Shane Walsh stroking over these two-pointers, right? And now a goal is still only worth 3 points. Goal is only worth 3 points. 2 points for a two-pointer out the field. And then Clifford comes on and he just goes for goal. James, do you think there's a danger that David Clifford will value, a fellow who scored a hat-trick against Galway before, Ger Canning noted it was his 18th league goal at the weekend that he scored for Kerry. Goals are hard to come by. Will fellas start to look for the little curler from 40 yards out rather than going for the net, do you think?
Well, I was actually thinking about this earlier. I was like, where would I position myself on the field now with these new things? Like, it depends who you're playing with, I suppose, but like, I think that Clifford will be inside next to that goal a lot more this year. Do you remember last year, Kerry kind of had all these plans, and even Derry are doing it now,
McGuigan.
With McGuigan, where we'll get them out to the top of the D and get a long range shot off. I don't think you necessarily need to do that anymore. You can keep those fellas in next to the goal. So, like, Shane Walsh is probably the outlier in that situation. Oh, he's an inside forward, but he's like a hybrid. He's not quite an 11, but he's not quite a 13 either. Do you know, he's like an in-betweener. Yeah. So, I mean, Walsh will definitely focus on the two-pointers, but Conn and Clifford and these fellas, maybe the odd one, but I don't think it's going to be something that they're basing their whole game around. I reckon that they want to go inside where they're going to
be inside.
Say it again, Paddy.
The Conn is going to stay inside, lads. I know he comes out and kicks a two-pointer.
Like, he just wanted to get one under his everyone.
I think, yeah, just because I've seen all this chat about two-pointers are going to go out and kick
one. Must have been watching the pod last week.
I think with his skill set, the likes, he's in like a Colmer for Galway as well.
Yeah.
Leave them in there and get the ball up to him.
Another fella who's been shooting the lights out. So Shane Walsh has kicked 30 points so far in the league. He's kicked 12 two-pointers. Sean Bugler has kicked 23 points from play and not a single two-pointer amongst them. He unfortunately picked up a bit of a knock there the other night. But Paddy, Kieran Kilkenny was missing the other day. Conn was only on the bench. Bugler again with Brian Howard. Like, Brian Howard made an interception in the first half.
Rolls Royce stuff. Yeah, from
maybe it was a bit to do with Derry just not being on it.
No, he was the same. Howard was the same against Kerry, lads. He was absolutely
brilliant. Yeah,
second half was exceptional. He's so strong in the air, lads. Yeah. But you know, if you're talking about how's the game changed, one of the key attributes now is the middle third and winning kickouts. And how he's not like, he's not like 6'5". No. You know, he's not a massive, but he is incredible in the air. And how many times has Clucko hit him with kickouts? He's the go-to guy. Nearly more so than Fenton or McCarthy have been. But I thought he was, the score he gets in the first half, just plucks it, ups he goes, outside of the right foot. He was exceptional. Do you know the difference with Howard? I think from this season, maybe there's a bit, Desi Farrell spoke this after, younger players, not younger players, but other players have to move into those leadership positions. And the reality is maybe someone like Howard is a bit more quieter perhaps. Didn't really have to because, sure, look, there's Fenton, there's McCarthy, there's all these guys there. But those players, Niall Scully as well, I thought he's been exceptional over the first couple of games of the league as well. Dublin need to develop new leaders because the crew who have been there for a decade are gone. But he's also had a full pre-season. You know, he was away, he was travelling, he was injuries, nicks and niggles. Probably not in peak condition for other National League campaigns, whereas this season, he's in great condition. He's playing all the games and he's been... Honestly, like the spine of Dublin's league, Kilkenny, Scully, Howard have been exceptional. Bugler's in the best form he's ever been in. But again, he's been around. He's been on the squad for 5 or 6 years as well. Yeah. So it's just, from Dublin's perspective, watching the game the other night, Derry were really poor. Really, really poor. You'd kind of be looking going, have they done maybe a lot of heavy training because maybe they're a couple of weeks behind because Paddy Talley was laid into the job or not, but they just look very, very off the pace the other night. They hit a lot of the key guys were still playing, but Dublin, there seems to be just an energy and a buzz about them, but it's being led by those experienced guys. And maybe there's a bit of, like, everyone thinks we're shite because all the loads of our big players have left, but hold on, we're still here. Maybe there's that bit of an edge or a chip on the shoulder, like some Scully and Kieran, who have, 7 or 8 All-Irelands themselves, Howard, and everyone going, hold on, we're all still here, and everyone thinks Dublin are going to be relegated and not going to win the Leinster Championships. And it might be a bit of a, I don't know, but that could be something as well. But there just seems a freshness about it.
Yeah.
Which was the win, and Kerry definitely would have helped with that. But I thought the other night, I thought that was their best performance. I thought they were really very, very good. Similar to Galway in a way, just the pace and athleticism of moving the ball. They were just absolute. That second quarter was a 1-10 to no score. They just absolutely wiped Derry, running through them at will. So it was very positive from Dublin.
I think Kerry missed a chance to put a dagger into Dublin last weekend. Do you know, when they were coming down, not fully loaded, Kerry were up, you know, 10 points early at halftime. Probably could have been more, but then to let Dublin, to breathe air and life into Dublin season is just...
I thought that was criminal, James, to be honest. I thought it was great. Mead setting up for the Dubs if they can get through their early Leinster games. Yeah, I just thought that was criminal.
That result is going to do them so much good, I think. So, we were all right in Dublin.
Look at those younger players, Jimmy. Like, that would have been a big win. Definitely. There's no two ways about it. Like the likes of Theo Clancy,
hey, Luke Clancy was brilliant.
These guys.
Nice. He was brilliant.
Yeah, but they, and that's there's a confidence that comes with it, lads. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Going down and beating Kerry, I agree with you.
Yeah.
If you're from Kerry's perspective, going, do whatever the players missing, do not give these lads a fucking sniff, because that's a new group. And we speak, all the teams we spoke with the last couple of years, like Derry trying to move into that bracket, Galway moving into the, it's a journey of winning games, winning provincial championships, then going and beating a big team, doing all these type of things. Dublin nearly, if you look at them in the frame, with a lot of the bodies, 15, 16 new faces, Lorcan O'Dell and these guys, going down, can only beat Kerry. Like that's a thing, the buzz of that, going, they can't wait for the next match. And then they go to play Derry and wipe the floor with McGraw.
Luke Brannock.
Now we're going up to Armagh, the All-Ireland champions. Luke Brannock, lads. I said it, Tommy.
I said it to you too, Pete. I like him. He's a baller.
I like him. I watched forward. They bet the Royals, actually.
20s, wasn't it?
Must be probably. It was 4 years ago, the 20 semi-final in Parnell Park. I was actually doing a bit of stuff with the county board and watched the game that evening. And he... Dublin won comfortably, but he's just, there's something about that guy. He's, the only way you know this, Jimmy, the way he plays as a forward, the way he moves, the kind of decision making, his runs, like he didn't score like 110 that. It wasn't like a Clifford-esque performance in that under 20s match, but I was just looking at him. They had the Blues in the final to Kildare. I was like, that he's got a great chance. Just a smart player. Brilliant technical skills, and without, like I say, scoring 10 points, he was, for me, I was like, he's definitely got a chance of making. And he hasn't made it, yes. Conscious he's played a couple of league games, but you can already see he looks like he's a smart forward.
What age is he?
Find space, accurate. 23, would he be 23, 24?
He's really a year younger. I say it's a year younger. Lads, it's been a very Division 1 heavy pod. There was no Division 2 games televised this weekend. We got a little bit of footage from Division 3. Just the Fermanagh, their analyst actually cut up the highlights, and it's something that I hope we get a little bit more over the next couple of weeks and months. Actually getting to see the Fermanagh scores was great at the weekend. Gavin Jones kicking a couple of doozies, Stephen Jackson cutting up the highlights and actually putting them out. But he wasn't allowed to include the Offaly highlights. Offaly, I think, were 9 points down and brought it back to a point in Division 3. And next thing, the referee, there was a bit of confusion in the game. Offaly had three defenders or three forwards up, but one of their forwards wasn't sure. He couldn't see the third man. So he made a desperate run back. The referee spots him making the run back, says, oh, they must have only... three back, but it's actually quite obvious that they had already three up, and gives Fermanagh a free, 21-yard free, makes it a 2-point game. So Offaly's momentum has stalled a little bit in that game, but fair play to Fermanagh putting the scores up, because we wouldn't get to see them otherwise. I'm praying, we're recording here on Monday evening, that Meath and Roscommon is on TG Carr tonight. I heard whispers that there were cameras at it. But the other game that was on was Armagh and Mayo. We had Davitt Neary, Paddy, scoring a lovely goal. I'm not sure if you saw this finish. I'd mentioned him on the pod a couple of minutes ago. He's kind of broken through. Lovely, beautiful finish. Scored 1-1. He's flying through the league. A rough diamond. Hasn't played underage for Mayo all the way up from Brafey. Former MMA European champion is what I've been told as well.
Is.
I think Ger Canning noted that in commentary at the weekend. So that's an interesting one.
He took that finish so early. Like that, do you know when a goalie's rushing at you? And if you can time the finish right, sometimes it doesn't have to be like the greatest strike or the biggest improvisation. Just the right timing as the keeper's on the move, and it's unstoppable. Just a little outside the right, little. It was almost like a little dink into the corner. I thought it was savage. Great goal.
Lovely. He took it on a full stride as well, didn't he? He was kind of striding through, intercepted the ball, and on a stride, he just kind of flicks it by Rafferty. Aidan O'Shea comes off the bench, and I think he gets his paw on the kick out towards the end for the equaliser. And he kicks a late point as well. So O'Shea had a big impact. But Conor Turbutt and his blue boots, I'm not sure if you saw the new Preds that he put up on. I think the Preds anyway, the new boots he put up on Instagram a couple of weeks ago. They're Clonairn colours. We obviously had them on the football pod a couple of months back. That sideline, lads. Gorgeous score.
It was class.
Inside the 13, curls it over the bar just before halftime. So thought that was class.
Not a 2-pointer.
I'm willing to let that one go. Couple of results before we wrap up, just from around the grounds. We have our second pod coming later this week, so we'll be talking about some of the games in that, and we'll be looking at next weekend. I'm at Westmeath and Meath in Mullingar on Sunday, so that is winless Westmeath against a Meath team that have put themselves into shake-up. But if the four home teams win...
Westmeath have left a lot behind, lads, haven't they?
Massively, yeah.
Yeah, put themselves under big pressure.
Yeah,
let us down last weekend.
That's twice I backed against Kevin. Came out.
Have you?
Well, just the last man standing at work. I had load as well, and they turned them over. My results are not going well at all this year.
you're under pressure. We'll save that one for the members pod. You are under pressure, pal. Ronan Hurricane was straight in with the football pod curse the second that Kevin got that win. But I was just saying there that if the four home teams win at the weekend, I think we could have a clatter of teams stuck on 6 points. I think it's six teams could be stuck on 6 points in Division 2 if the four home teams win this weekend. Yeah, so you'd have, if the four home teams win this weekend, you've Cavan against Down, Cork against Roscommon, Louth against Monaghan, and Westmeath against Meath. You will have Monaghan, Meath, Roscommon, Cork, Louth and Cavan all on 6 points, which would be fairly ridiculous. And then Westmeath and Down on two. So interesting times ahead in Division 2. And again, we're seeing from the stats that were released during the weekend, most solo and goals taking place in Division 2, most two-pointers. It's where the genesis of these rules are being properly trialled, and it's really interesting to see. So,
Score difference is going to make a huge difference on who goes up. You know, you want to be scoring heavily nearly to make sure you don't miss out on score difference.
You know, Meade had a big 7-point win against Roscommon. I think they had a free after the buzzer the last day as well that drifted wide that they would have been disappointed with. So that'll be one we're keeping an eye on. Division 2 results, Monaghan 3-16, Cork 1-15, Westmeath 21, Cavan turning it around in the second half with 5 2-pointers, Cavan 1-22, a 4-point win for Cavan, a 7-point win for Monaghan, a 1-point win for Louth, Sam Mulroy kicking 10, 2-17-22 against Down, who like Westmeath are scoring heavily but just can't get the wins, and in Meath 2-18-17 against Roscommon. In Division 3, Antrim 4-16, Leitrim 1-16. Good score put up by Leitrim. They had plenty of chances in that game as well, but Antrim's goals doing the damage. Kildare 21 points, Laois 9 points. Fermanagh 1-13, Offaly 3-6. Kildare were the only team in Division 3 to score 2-pointers at the weekend. They scored 2 as they continue their charge up the table. I'll be catching up with Paddy Dunican, who we mentioned on the pod a couple of weeks ago. Flying goalkeeper. Scored a goal.
Loving the rules, I'd say.
He is. We'll see what he makes them. Played under...
Ask him what's he going to do if they change this 12-11?
Well, you mentioned the under-20s there. He played Dublin in an under-20s final, a centre-forward for Offaly a couple of years back. So he also played under one of your managers before, Paddy.
What?
A fella who'd wear a suit to games. Larger-than-life character.
Rod Squad.
Rod Squad. He was in the Rod Squad not long when they got promoted. So might have a little chat. And he was actually at Loans.
I think it's Roddy's dipped his toe into GAA. Roddy's made.
He was at Loans, number one goalkeeper.
He take a team with the divisions.
He was at Loans, number one goalkeeper that year. And there was another GAA goalkeeper who was their number two. So I'll reveal that on the pod on Wednesday, who that player was behind Paddy. So looking forward to catching up with Paddy. Won a Chicago championship last year. Played a lot of football in America over the last couple of summers and is back with Offaly between the goals. So Tipperary, 17 points. They were caught late on by London. Liam Gavigan with a 2-pointer to beat them. Tipperary have had 2-pointers on the buzzer going for them and against them in their game so far. Big win for London. Carlow beaten by Limerick by 7 points. And Longford finally getting a win against Waterford, 2-11-1-12. Fellas, it's a big week. We're going to be talking about it on the members pod. Changes can be made this week by the Football Review Committee. We're expecting to get a report on the physical changes that we're seeing in the game this week. Niall Moyna and the team in DCU are putting that together for us, so expecting to have that later in the week. We'll have our Football Pod 15 interview with Paddy Dunican, and we will also have the pod picks, where unfortunately James O'Donoghue is still rooted to the bottom of the table. And there's a bit of a daylight between James and Paddy, who's in the middle of the table there. A bit of daylight between me at the top as well. I got 2 wins from 3 at the weekend. Very happy.
Don't agree with that.
How many am I off? How many am I off, Paddy? Oh,
yeah.
2.
You could be 2 or 3 off, Paddy. Yeah, so we'll
I'll have to get the form on that one. I'll have to get the form and the paper, so
Yeah. Less stags, Jimmy. Less stags and more analysis at the weekends.
Yeah. Final word on Congress. Are you happy that we're going to have a new championship in 2026?
No.
What was actually changed?
What is it now? Like?
It's still the groups.
It's not going to be around Robin. The teams are going to be broken into round one, and then a winner's section from round one and a loser's section from round one. So it'll be division.
Why are they doing this?
Round two A and
there was
round two B.
There was no Jeopardy, was it, in the old system or something? That's what they were saying.
Jeopardy is kind of what they're going off. McGeaney was raging about it. McGuinness was happy.
McGeaney's fed up. He is. There's something every week. He's just a bit. Things are starting to annoy him.
There's a Dubs coming to town on Saturday night. We'll see if he's fed up.
Yeah, that'd be massive. That is going to be a great game.
That'll be class.
It'll be a big game. Yeah. It'll be full house. Savage crowd at that. McGeaney and Desi, good buddies. Club teammates as well, back in the day.
From the Fina, okay. Paddy Andrews.
That'd be a good match.
James O'Donoghue, fair play. Enjoyed that, James. You made it through it. Thanks to everybody for tuning in.
Well, Jimmy, you were top class.
Yeah, and
thanks for helping us.
Thanks for all the entries into our wee competition with GA Mystery Kits. I'll be picking out a winner this evening, and I'll pass on to Stephen and GA Mystery Kits. Hope you enjoy the jersey you get sent. We certainly appreciated ours last week. So, Paddy, James,
great stuff.
Talk to you later in the week.
Cheers, boys.
Good luck.